Hey, welcome to The Conversation. This is Andy Mason, and you're listening to authentic conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And this morning, I've got a treat for you. This is the process by which I hear God to navigate change, to hear His voice for the decisions that I make that affect family, that affect business, that affect my faith. So I'm going to unpack that for you in a nutshell, really, and make sure that you download. There's a set of notes that I've posted in the show notes below. You can download so you can follow that along and see for yourself. Secondly, if this is saying you need more than this, you want to go deeper, you can join me on the next Hey God, What Now course. So the link is also in the show notes. And finally, the third link in the show notes is our new book, Finding Hope in Crazy Times. That will set you up on a daily basis, story, application, scripture that anchors you, and practical action steps. So if you're facing any challenge, any change, any decisions, today's session is going to really, really help you. So enjoy this session. So let's wind back a little bit. A couple months ago, for the last 3 months, I've been shelter at home. With what's going on in my family, our city, that's affecting us. I don't know where you're at right now, but I know you're dealing with uncertainty. You're looking at your budgets, you're looking at your health, you're looking at your relationships, you're looking at what's going on in your city, and you're posed with more uncertainty than you had 3 months ago. 3 months ago, I was on a plane to Ukraine, actually, and I arrived in Germany, supposed to go to Ukraine. The day we arrived in Germany, we hear that Ukraine's borders had closed. So I'm like, oh my gosh, hey God, what now? What do we do? Do I go to some friends in the Netherlands? Do I do something in Germany? Do I hang out? What's God up to in Europe at the time? And obviously the COVID-19 was affecting everything. We'd prayed and heard God say, no, go anyway. So now I'm here, I'm in Germany, I'm supposed to be in Ukraine, I can't go to Ukraine. What do I do? And so as I was with two students, we prayed about what do we do and just felt like there was one thing to do in Germany. Then we turned around and literally hopped back on a plane to arrive back in America, North America, the day that the borders closed. Now, here's the funny thing. So we prayed, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? We felt, okay, we need to get back on a plane. So we booked our tickets. When we booked our tickets, the planes were 80% empty. Then we go to bed wondering, have we made the right decision? The next morning we wake up to hear that President Trump has announced that on the Friday at midnight, the border is going to close for foreigners and internationals not getting into the country. Our plane arrived back into the United States at 9 p.m. Suddenly I look like a genius. What's the point? Hearing God makes you look like a genius when you do something with it. So what I'm going to do is walk you through a process of what we did after that, how we applied that to our lives, and give you a really, really simple strategy process that you can do the same. So we got home, we're wondering what's going on, and it's just crazy. I'm faced with, what am I going to do as a team? I'm literally shelter at home before it was popular. I had to do a self-quarantine. And so I arrive in, I've got to do 2 weeks at home in my own house, isolated from my family, which is another whole story. We get through that, but as it starts to unfold what's going on, this is going to affect events, this is going to affect how I do life, this is going to affect my team. I'm starting to wonder what's going to happen, how am I going to do it, what am I going to do, what do I not do, what can I do? All of these questions, what's the government going to do? Oh, there's these loans. Some countries have poured those out, some haven't. Some people have got them, some haven't. So what am I going to do? And I start to pause and ponder. I've got a team of six. I've got a budget that's heavily reliant on in-person events. People coming from all over the world to Redding, California to do an event, a conference, an executive retreat, an in-person school with us, with my team. Are we going to even have those things? I'm talking to the wider team. I'm part of a church that's a significant church in a city that brings in internationals. So how are we going to feel as a church bringing in COVID-19 and infecting the population? That's not going to look so good. So how do we work in partnership with our city, not against our city? All of these questions are starting to go through my head. And I'm starting to think, what about my family? I've got my daughter, one of my children
is 19, and she's got a heart condition and a respiratory condition. And I'm starting to realize this disease thing, it's not going to affect me that I know of. I'm going to be okay, but it's not my risk to take. I've got a team member who's got a spouse who's got a physical health condition that this will affect. I'm like, God, what do I do in the middle of this? That's called, hey, God, what now? Then I'm looking at my budget, talking to the wider department. This is March, and we know I've got three events between March and July that suddenly they are no longer going to happen. So I go from, that's about $40,000 of net revenue, big deal for my budget, big deal for employing my employees, big deal for keeping things going, that's gone. So $40,000 got wiped off my bottom line. What am I going to do? Health conditions in my team, what am I going to do? All these different things that I'm just getting jacked up. Now, backtrack a little bit. I woke up an earlier morning, and when I feel that like anxiety, tension, turmoil on the inside that wakes you up in the morning, I have some go-tos. First thing is I put on my AirPods because my wife's sleeping beside me. I don't want to wake her up. Put my AirPods in and put on like worship music. So I tried that. I put on the new Bethel album. It's called Peace. That's got to work. It's got to do the thing. Didn't work. I'm still jacked up on the inside. Okay, what do I do next? Well, put on the Bible. Usually listening to the Bible is so helpful for me. The Passion Translation or Audio Bible, and I'm playing that. After 10, 15 minutes, I'm still jacked up. What am I going to do now? So step number three, it's like just grab my phone, look at my phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm reading emails. Now I'm even more jacked up than I was before. That was not a good decision. We end up just not sleeping, just kind of off and on for the next thing. I get up that morning and I'm, God, what do I do? I just need wisdom. I just need wisdom. I need to know what to do. And as I'm ironing a shirt, because I'm at home, but I'm kind of want to be business, I'm Zooming thing, I've got all these different calls, I've still got to look right. So as I'm ironing a shirt, I suddenly have this thought, I need wisdom. Well, where do you go for wisdom? You go to the book of Proverbs. So it's like, oh, duh. So I go to the book of Proverbs and start reading one chapter of Proverbs per day. It's really, really easy because there's about 30 days in a month and there's about 30 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So I need to know exactly where I'm at. It's this day, it's this chapter of Proverbs. So in particular, I'm struggling with, at this time, what am I going to do? A $40,000 loss? And not only that, is my whole business model is built largely around in-person events. So what's going to happen in the future? Are people going to travel the same? Are they not going to travel the same? Are people going to be okay to travel, but they don't want to travel? All of these stuff. How do I budget? How do I plan? What do I do? So that particular morning, I'm on Proverbs chapter 4. It was April the 4th. So I'm reading Proverbs chapter 4, and I start to read some things. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, journaling is huge. Something happens in my brain when I go from reading something to writing it. It's like that level of attention, that level of turning aside increases my ability to hear, which is actually scriptural. What you do with what you hear determines whether you get more or whether it just stays where it is. So when I pause and turn aside and start to journal just what I think I'm hearing, it multiplies. So I just write down, this is Proverbs 4, different phrases. Don't forget my words. Don't turn your back on wisdom. Be patient. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. As I'm reading that, this kind of phrase just keeps coming to mind. Don't change the subject. And so I'm starting to ponder, and I write that down in my journal, don't change the subject. And then I'm thinking, well, what subject? Don't change. I'm thinking, I've got a $40,000 event, series events, a significant proportion of my budget, and I'm hearing God say, don't change the subject. That doesn't make sense. How can I not change the subject? Because if I can't do this, God. There's COVID-19. There's people aren't flying. Airplanes aren't flying. They can't bring the people. Like, how can I not change the subject? And then I ponder that. I'm thinking, what does that look like? Maybe I need to take a step back. And what is the subject? So I start to journal. You know, what is it that God's called us to do? Me individually. heaven and business and the people that we're leading. What is God called us to do? What is the core ingredient, the core message of why we exist as a company? Now start to write that down. Faith, family, business, partnering God with God in all of life, influencing cities. And where is my favor? And where is the momentum? And what are the skills in my hand? And where's there a flow of resources? What can I lean more into? And I start to have this really honest, candid look at the things that we're doing. But I'm still puzzling with God saying, don't change the subject. And I'm realizing that doesn't make sense. So the next step was me being on a call. And at the time, I was doing a 30-day hope challenge around this new book. It's called Finding Hope in Crazy Times. I'll tell you about that soon. And so I'm doing this with a friend, Ray Edwards. He's a copywriter and nationally known, and he's a man of wisdom. So as I'm processing what's going on and what I'm hearing God say with Ray in our conversation, it's like a light bulb moment happens. It's amazing that Proverbs 1 says, wisdom is crying out on the streets. That's in the marketplaces, that there are people of wisdom all around you if you will listen. So in this conversation with Ray, as we're pondering this together, suddenly I realize God's saying, don't change the subject, change the delivery. And when I spoke that out, it's like just these light bulbs go on. Don't change the subject, just change the delivery. So what did that look like? I literally then went from there to meeting with my team and said, okay, team, I want us to look at, we've got this executive retreat coming up. Let's have a look at how we could do that in a different format, in a different way. Is it possible to do an executive retreat that's in person with 25 people paying $1,500 for 3 days in this crazy, crazy experiment and an experience? Can I take that and turn it into an online event? Now, if you asked me that 2 months ago, I'd say no way. There is so much that happens in person, like even the presence of God, like that, just it's not going to happen, not going to happen. But because I heard God say, don't change the subject, change the delivery, we put all our cards on the table, said, what are the core ingredients of that event? And we stripped it back to its raw ingredients. And then we said, how could we do that in a different format? And we did it. We first took one step and we put it together, obviously a different price, different way of delivering things. And I'll tell you more about that later, but what was the point? The point is I heard God, we pivoted, and it worked out something crazy. Not only that, but we've done that first event. We're going to repeat it again and again and again. But here's what's happening. Behind the scenes, the start of this year, I heard God say, this is the year of multiplication. And we step into the year, and I'm like, I'm traveling less. I'm speaking less. I'm meeting with people less, or possibly more, depending on how you look at it. How could it possibly be that we could multiply? On this side, I'm looking at how we've changed our delivery and realizing, oh my gosh, God was right all along. These events virtually is multiplying my influence. I just would have never, ever predicted that or thought that it could turn like that. So what I'm going to do is going to walk you through what we've done in pivoting in that really simple process of hearing God, translating that to what I can do, getting wisdom, taking action, and then adjusting. I'm going to walk you through that process. So as we're going through that, I want you to think about what's a key challenge, a key situation that you are facing right now that you need to hear God on, that you need to pivot. It could be a relational, financial, business situation, whatever that is. Just pause and think about what's the situation that I need to hear the voice of God. I need to hear wisdom to know what to do. That's what we're going to get. Now, just before we step into that, I want to give you two real quick things to help you. Number one, start your day analog. There's something happens when I first get my Bible. Now, this might not be analog. You've got a physical Bible. That's great. My Bible is on here. Analog? Maybe not, but I'm starting with the voice of God and the Word of God, and I'm journaling what I'm hearing Him say to bring clarity. I encourage you, is before you turn to media, before you turn to social media, Fox News, CNN News, whatever it is that you're most passionate about, Start your day listening for the voice of God. That, if you will just do that alone, that will set you up to succeed. A story of Mary and Martha. Martha's running around, looking at social media, making sandwiches, doing all these things, while Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's like, how come you're doing this? How come she gets this favor? And Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is most important. There's a real opportunity right now to get so distracted by this and that, all these things going on. But one thing is needed. Sit at his feet and listen to his voice. Number one, if you do that, it costs you nothing, but costs you everything, because you've got to own your attention. And number two, some of you are saying, I'm struggling with hope. Like, hope is what enables you to see things differently. If I'm overwhelmed with the situation right now, that's pretty hard to see your way through. Sometimes it's even hard to hear the voice of God. So if you're in that place, here we've got this link here, findinghope.xyz. You can get a copy of this, plus the audiobook, plus you can see all of the videos that Ray and I did over a 30-day hope period. Literally, you walk chapter by chapter through this, and it will give you hope. If you haven't got hope for yourself, walk with me. This will give you hope. It's like a devotional of how I've done this over the last 10 years, navigating crazy fires, navigating crazy immigration situations, crazy leadership situations, and hearing God on a daily basis that's given us practical hope. So we walk that out. You can see that. So those are two things. Start your day in a log. Start by listening to the voice of God. Number two, if you're struggling with hope, you can get hope here. Finding hope. .xyz, take you to that page and you can access that straight away. Now, hey God, what now? How do I hear God for today's decision? Here's a simple process that we're walking through and we're taking others through that can help you. Here's what they are. Number one is, what is your situation? What are you facing right now? It's being real about it. Number two is hearing God. I'm going to give you some keys on how to do that. Number three is, what does it mean? Sometimes God says, what does that actually mean to my day? Don't stop with what God says. That's the starting point. Then how do I understand that, unpack that, and apply it to my day? Then using wisdom. And like, I must have wisdom to know how to apply it, and then how to action that and help guide me through my day. And then finally, what are you going to do? Day by day, God instructs us in the way to go. But the difference between those that are navigating this thing with momentum and those that are not is the action steps that we take. Will I actually do something with what I'm hearing? So I'm going to walk you through that process. First one is situation. Now, we were just joking beforehand with the crew here. There seems to be a bunch of people. There's a bunch of people that are buried in conspiracies and denial. Now, I don't care what conspiracy or what denial you're doing, but if it's resulting in you just burying your head in a bunch of sand and you're not doing something, that's when it becomes a problem. Then there's a bunch of people that are running around like, the world's on fire, the world's on fire, the world's on fire, so distracted that they're like just burning up and not actually achieving something. They're so focused on what I am concerned about, but I have no control over. So there's circle of concern. Those are the things that other people are doing that are affecting me, but I have no influence over. Then there's a smaller circle. It's called the circle of influence. That's the things that I have management over. Starts with me. Freedom is telling me what to do and then doing it. So I'm not going to focus on what everybody else is doing, what social media is saying, what the news is saying. I'm going to start with, what can I do? And that group of people are the ones that are starting businesses, pivoting businesses, doing things differently, building friendships, sowing in season of famine, studying and learning and looking, what can I do differently? I want to be of those people that through the middle of this, we expand and grow in all that God has for us. Because last time I checked, the kingdom of God is always expanding. There is no disease. There is no protest. There is no riot that stops the kingdom from expanding. It expands through all of it. So what will I do in the middle of this? So what's my situation? Don't focus on circle of concerns, focus on what I can. and then take what I'm doing and put it all out on the table. Be candid. Don't have any sacred cows. That means the things in your business or your life, oh no, I can't touch that. You're going to have to touch that. You're going to have to face that. Have some raw and real conversations. What is your situation right now? For us, this is my situation. I've got these employees have health issues. I've got this family member's got health issues. I've got an organization that I'm a part of that's making decisions. I've got a city. I've got a budget to deal with. And this is my shortfall. So I'm doing an inventory of where I'm at, what my situation is. That's what I did. And so secondly, hearing. So how do you hear God? Some of you say you're a pro at this. You don't have to worry about this. But what I'm finding is the further that I go and the more people that I talk to, we talk that we hear God, but in practice, it's not happening. We're actually just hearing what someone else is saying rather than hearing for ourselves. In the book of Proverbs, it says that God conceals a matter, and that's his glory, and it's the glory of kings, leaders, to seek it out. What does that mean? It means that he's placed things in front of you to find, to go out and seek, to unpack and reveal like treasure, and he places them for you. He's wanting a powerful people to grow up and be powerful, and that doesn't happen if he just gives you all the answers. So he leads us on this journey. So I've got to learn how to hear God. So here's two pillars. Number one is the Word of God. I am daily reading the Word of God. I talked about that. The book of Proverbs is so vital for us right now, full of wisdom. God speaks through his word daily. I'm reading that and I'm journaling that. So I want to encourage you, the first place to go in hearing the voice of God is his word. That's a foundation, that's a pillar, that's an anchor to all we do. The second one is wisdom. So the word of God and then wisdom. Wisdom is found in the multitude of counselors. So what I do is I hear the word of God and I'll see what he's speaking to me through that. But then before I just jump out and do something, I have wise counselors around me that help me navigate how do I apply this? Is there a timing thing? As we process that, I get this understanding that makes my steps firm. Wisdom is found in the multitude of counselors. So those are two pillars. And next point is, how do you know it's God speaking? Number one, John 6:63, Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. So that's when I think I'm hearing something, does it release life, energy, hope? I know that Jesus is the spirit of wisdom. I know he is his word. I know that he is life. So when I'm hearing him, it's like light bulb, hope, spark. That literally looks like, as I'm reading through the word of God, something pops out, something is highlighted, something grabs my attention. I take that and I write that down. Super, super simple. His words are life. Secondly, does it carry peace? Colossians 3:15, Paul is writing and he says, let peace be your governor. A governor helps you make decisions. So peace, we heard God, don't change the subject. So do I have peace on that? Is the opposite is also true. Do I have a hesitation? So for example, you're looking to hire somebody. You're not sure who. You've got two people. They both look the same. And when you stand and you think and ponder on one, you have a peace about them. You ponder the other. They look fine. Everything's fine. But you have on the inside a hesitation, a sense, I don't know what it is, but something, I just got this hesitation. Trust that. Be governed by peace. Number three is Jeremiah 20 verse 9. It's the prophet Jeremiah. When he goes out, hears the voice of God, says him, tells him exactly what to do. He goes and does what God tells him to do, and it goes really bad. Gets beaten up, gets thrown in a pit. It is not fun. Gets caught up in a riot, looting. It's just nuts. And Jeremiah is now stuck in a well, and he's like, God, I did what you told me to do. You deceived me into acting. It's like, but your word is like a fire in my bones. I grow weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. What's the point? I love it when I get life and energy from the word of God. I love it when I have peace, when he guides me with peace. But then there's times when he instructs you to do something and it's not necessarily fun, but there's some compelling force within you that you can't not do it. I have to do this. I have this conviction that even though I could lose my life, I just know that I know that I know it's the right thing to do. Those are three guides to help you and navigate this thing. I have this pillar of the Word of God, this pillar of wise counsel, and then I'm guided by, is it the voice of God releasing the life to do it? Is it the peace of God governing me, or do I have a hesitation? Finally, is His Word like a fire in my bones? I just can't not do this. I have a conviction. So, pause for a moment. What are you hearing so far? What is standing out for you? Go back to that situation that you have. What have you already heard God say that you just haven't acted on? Pause and just write that down. This is what I've been hearing God already. I might not have the application, but this is what I'm hearing God say to me in my situation. So, number two was hearing. What did we hear? I was reading Proverbs 4, and there was a series of phrases that stood out to me. So I literally wrote those down. Don't forget my words. Don't turn your back on wisdom. Don't get sidetracked. There's Proverbs 4, 5, 25, and 27, but it didn't make sense. So what's the meaning? What does it mean? And as I'm pondering that, that phrase just keeps going through my head. A light bulb moment, a phrase. What I'm learning, it's probably God. So write down, don't change the subject. What did I read? Don't forget my words. Don't turn your back on wisdom. Don't get sidetracked. What am I facing, the situation? $40,000 loss and events that aren't working. What am I hearing God say? Don't change the subject. Don't leave the path. But it doesn't make sense. That's why we get to number four. For me, this is my friend at the conversation with Ray Edwards. What am I looking for in a person of wisdom? I'm looking for wrinkles. No offense to you, but wrinkles is experience. Wrinkles is time in the trenches, is life experience where they've navigated ups and downs, where they've faced challenges and navigated it. Maybe not always the best, but because of that, they've learned. So I'm looking for life experience. I'm looking for that wrapped up in an evidence of the character and nature of God in their life. Have they got character? Have they been faithful? How do they look after their family? I'm looking at those things. What are they really like in business? I'm looking at those things when I'm finding a wise counselor. And secondly, I'm looking for, do they carry encouragement? Great story. For me personally, I had a group of advisors. I'm facing lots of challenges. In the morning, I met with one of the advisors and he gave me his advice. He said, Andy, this is where you're going wrong. This. This is what you need to do. This. It was correct advice. And I left feeling discouraged, depressed, like I could never do anything. That same afternoon, I met with another advisor in the same team. It just happened to be the same day. And that same advisor just laid it out. Andy, this is where you're going wrong. This. And this is what you need to do. This. But I left feeling pumped, like I could take on the world and I could do anything. What's the point? First person didn't have a gift of encouragement. Second one had encouragement. What's that? That's Paul speaking to Timothy saying, you have many instructors in Christ, but few fathers. What's the difference? A spirit of encouragement. Find somebody that will speak the truth and tell you it hard and direct, especially if you're a hard-headed person, somebody that will speak through. But make sure you find someone that also has a gift of encouragement. That could be that they're willing to believe in you when no one else will. They'll give you truth surrounded in love. Look for that kind of wise counsel. For me, I was having this conversation with Ray Edwards, and we're bouncing this back and forwards. Ray's been in the game, walking with Jesus for a long time. He's got ups and downs, history. He's got wrinkles. He's got life experience. He's got body scars that show it. And as we were processing it, that's when I had this light bulb moment. Oh, it's don't change the subject. It's change the delivery. That was the wisdom that could do. And what it did is it released a ton more ideas and strategies of how we could do this.
So what's the next step? The next step is number 5 is action. What will you do? I love this. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And what's the point? It's today. I'm hearing God, not for you, not for somebody else, not for Sunday, but for today. When I hear God's voice, it's for its application today. Any time that I divorce the voice of God from my daily life, it's just becoming some religious activity that's not achieving results. What's the point? I've got to turn what I'm hearing God into, so what are you going to do? What am I going to do? Now, for us, that looked like having a strategy team meeting. It looked like looking at the core ingredients, pulling that apart, and formulating a new strategy. And then we took a little step for us that was one event. What could I lose? Very little. Be a little embarrassed. I could invest resources in something that doesn't work. But we tried, and we got 25. Actually, we oversold. We had more people want to be a part of that than we had spaces available, so we just had to make it bigger. What's the point? We took a step based on what we were hearing, based on wise counsel, and we took a position. Now, for you, we've just had there's a rocket that's gone to the NASA International Space Station. Now, the amount of energy and effort to make that go button is billions of dollars. It's crazy amount of risk and investment. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go to that level. What you could do is just take a little step. I'm just going to take a little step with what I think I'm hearing. That's okay. For you, it could be, I'm going to take a little step with a life jacket and with a friend. That's okay. The point is, take action. Do something. James says in the book of James, in the Bible, it says, show me your faith. As in, don't just talk. I don't need more people to talk about it. Show me. Just do something. Even if it's a little step, take that little step. So we did, and the results were amazing. Not only did we have people tell us from those 3 days that within 5 minutes, listen, that is unbelievable. Not only did that happen, but day 2, when we spend time hearing the voice of God, it blew my mind of what is possible if we take a real retreat and we turn it into a virtual event. It's like, not only is it possible, but it's going to multiply our influence, where we can do this with people all over the world that could have never, ever come here. It's expanded us, multiplied us. It's like this pressed down, shaken together, running over more than I could ask, think, or imagine. Oh, that's a scripture as well. What's the point? This is real. I had a $40,000 loss. I heard God, translated that, applied it with wisdom, took action, and the result of it is that's going to be a new income stream and aligned with our core business. So not changing the subject, just changing the delivery and multiplying what we never thought or imagined was possible beforehand. What's the point? You can do the same. It's really, really simple. It's number 1, what's the situation you're facing? Be real, be candid, be raw, be authentic. Put the cards on the table. Don't hold back. Don't blame. What is your situation? Raw and authentic. Take inventory. Number 2, what are you hearing God say? Take time to listen. God, how do you see this? What are you saying for me right now? This situation, this loss, what do you see? What are you saying? What could I learn at this time that I could never learn any other time? Number 3, what does it mean? With what you're hearing, what does that mean to you? I'm hearing him say, don't change the subject. What does that mean? Oh, it means something else. How do I apply that? Unpack that. And as you journal it, I encourage you to do that, because that helps you turn it from what I'm hearing into something that's more concrete and tangible. Number 3, that's number 3's meaning. Number 4 is wisdom. Find some wise counselors. We've been doing masterminds, groups of small groups of people that are navigating this, because we're all in this together. You are not alone. So don't isolate yourself. Find some others that you can do this with. Pick up the phone, get on a Zoom call,
Find a group of people that you can surround yourself and say, I need to voice what I'm processing so that I get wisdom. Wisdom is found in the multitude of counselors. So I'm going to do that. And number five, take action. Just don't talk about it. What are you going to do? It doesn't mean I'm going to jump in and launch a space shuttle to the international space shuttle. I'm going to take a little step, which could literally be I put on a life jacket, I grab a hold of a friend, and I'm going to take one step and I'm going to test it. But you can do this. If this has been helpful for you and you say, I want to walk this through, check out heygodwhatnow.com. I'm walking with groups of people through this same process. But finally, you can hear God more than you realize. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, which means that you too can do the same. You too can do the same. So pause for a moment. And just as you journal this, write those things down. Number one, what's the situation? Number two, what am I hearing God say? Number three, what does that mean? Number four, wisdom. Who could I talk to process this out? Number five, what action am I going to take? And I bless you. Just let me pray for you. So Father, I just want to thank you for this time. Thank you that you're leading us, that your kingdom is expanding regardless of what we're facing. And I just release just your grace on every person listening and watching this, that you just cause, like you just grab a hold of our ear and you just turn us aside. Where we've been distracted with so many other things, one thing is needed. So we turn aside and just listen to you and listen for your voice. And I just speak peace into every situation. I speak solutions into every situation. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom, which is the spirit of innovation and creativity and ideas. And Father, also release to us the courage to take action. Father, thank you for who you are and that you're leading us into all truth.